This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. President, this day is a pivot of history. It heralds a new dawn of peace. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have prayed for peace. For decades, the Jewish state has prayed for peace. And this is why today we're filled with such profound gratitude. I am grateful to you, President Trump, for your decisive leadership. You have unequivocally stood by Israel's side. You have boldly confronted the tyrants of Tehran. You've proposed a realistic vision for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. And you have successfully brokered the historic peace that we are signing today, a peace that has broad support in Israel, in America, in the Middle East, indeed in the entire world.
That, of course, is Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, at the White House yesterday. Here to discuss with us, Avi Berkowitz, assistant to the president and special representative for international negotiations. Avi, let me begin by saying congratulations to you on your incredibly hard work. Congratulations to Jared Kushner and, of course, to the president. This was an amazing, historic day. Thank you for joining us here in Philadelphia.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You must feel a tremendous sense of accomplishment. Back in 2017, the New York Times put out a story mocking Jared, you know, and saying, can a 36-year-old real estate developer actually achieve Middle East peace? Well, guess what? Tell us. I mean, I love that, by the way, that they got called out for that yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You never know exactly what's going to come up from the past that's, you know, going to prove your point sometimes. But I'll just begin by first congratulating the president, who honestly has led this team. It was his vision that under Jared Kushner's leadership we were implementing. And so for the president specifically to now be nominated twice for a Nobel Peace Prize, thanks to the work that, you know, Jared Kushner has led and then the team worked on, is a pretty awesome feeling, honestly. And, you know, stories are going to come and they're going to go, but this for the president and for Jared is such a legacy moment. It's something that I think for generations people are going to be talking about. So I'm really, really proud to work with them, for them, and to be on this team.
So Avi Berkowitz, give us the overview of what exactly was signed yesterday. In my opinion, and I said this to Jared a couple weeks ago, I don't think this is getting enough coverage in the media. That frustrates me. So please tell us what exactly happened and why this is so incredibly important.
Yeah, and thank you so much for taking the time to actually cover this and go through the details. So yesterday we had the Kingdom of Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Israel, and the president sitting at that table, which is now sort of a historic video and image. And all four signed what is the Abraham Accords, which is sort of like an overarching document that we're hopeful that, you know, countries throughout the world, other people will be able to sign on to, which sort of just generally speaks about the prospects for peace and how it's important for countries to normalize their and establish diplomatic relations with Israel. So that was something that everybody was a signatory to yesterday. In addition to that, there was a peace agreement signed by the United Arab Emirates and Israel, with the U.S. in a witness capacity signing, and a declaration of peace between the Kingdom of Bahrain and the State of Israel, with the U.S. again in sort of an observer witness capacity. So there was a lot of signing going on, but that's sort of the overarching what happened.
I mean, that's wonderful to think about that kind of an accomplishment. And the president said yesterday he thinks that eight or nine other countries could wind up joining in the Abraham Accords going forward.
Yeah, so if I could just take a second to go back into the history here, just because I think it's so important to put it into perspective. So Israel formed in 1948. It took 30 years for it to have its first peace agreement with an Arab country, its neighbor Egypt. After that, another 16 years goes by until 1994, when Jordan becomes only the second Arab country to make peace with its neighbor Israel. And then we have 26 years where there's nothing. And in 1978, 1994, obviously different presidents. And then for 26 years, you have nothing. President Trump comes in, Jared Kushner, and you have the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, the first Gulf Arab country of very affluent, smart, accomplished people making peace with Israel. And then 29 days later, you have the Kingdom of Bahrain, another Gulf Arab country making peace with Israel. President Trump now holds the distinction of being the only president to have made peace with two countries and Israel, you know, two Arab countries and Israel. And then actually earlier we had Serbia and Kosovo. Kosovo is a Muslim majority country that is now recognizing Israel. So President Trump has been nominated now twice for a Nobel Peace Prize, the first on the UAE deal with Israel, the second on the Serbia-Kosovo deal, thanks to, you know, Rick Grenell and Robert O'Brien deserve a lot of credit for that as well. And, you know, I hope that the president will also be nominated again for sort of the whole plethora, the whole body of his work, because, you know, there's just so much that he has done in the last few days. So, but then going forward, looking outwards for other countries, we are hopeful and we are in serious discussion with numerous other Arab and Muslim countries. Now, of course, the president has the right to say, you know, which countries they are, and I will sort of hold back until he's ready to do so.
Avi Berkowitz, all this peace breaking out throughout the world, it's really amazing, and it makes me sleep kind of soundly at night. Let me ask you this question, and this is an important one. The significance of why these accords are called the Abraham Accords.
Yes. So as I think a lot of people know, but I'll just reiterate, so the Abrahamic faith, specifically Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all come from one, you know, historic figure in the Old Testament, Abraham, someone who actually I am personally named after as well. And so it's I feel a personal connection to this as well, outside of the work that I get to do under Jared Kushner. So, you know, this is something that the president wanted to show. It is something that will, you know, hopefully incorporate all three of the Abrahamic faiths, as well as all people of all faiths. But because the three main sort of faiths in that region come from that sort of historical background, the president thought it would be a great way to honor the accords. And in the UAE, they've actually just started to break ground on an area where they will have a church, a mosque, and a synagogue all within one area, all of the Abrahamic faith. So it's a really beautiful thing, and you know, we're really moving forward on this.
I mean, it's so incredible to think that the three major faiths of the world all coming together like this in peace. And so Christians benefit, Muslims benefit, people of the Jewish faith benefit. Everybody wins here. That it's very rare to find the kind of peace accords that we're talking about where everybody wins. Nobody loses here. It's just the world benefits, the three major faiths benefit, and everybody can walk away from that believing that tomorrow is going to be a better day than today. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like something out of a movie. I mean, really, this doesn't really happen in real life. How long did it take to get here? What were the, when you first started with this, Avi Berkowitz, with Jared Kushner back, you know, in 2016, 2017, after you got into the White House, and the early hurdles that had to be overcome here to achieve this? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this has really been years in the making, and I think the president deserves a lot of credit because he said, you know, Jared and the team, take a non-traditional approach, right? Don't do sort of the conventional way of thinking. Now, obviously, there's an Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that's something that still needs to be resolved. And the president has spoken quite openly about the fact that as more Arab countries come into the Abraham Accords and make peace with Israel, the Palestinians, we are hopeful, are going to actually decide to come to the table and negotiate, something that they have refused to do on, you know, since December of 2017. So when Jared Kushner came into this file, he said, look, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict needs a realistic solution. And so he went for 2 years with Jason Greenblatt, David Friedman, myself, crafting a plan and a vision for peace, which the president released on January 28th of this year. And once the plan was put out, a lot of Arab countries in the region saw that there was actually, for the first time, a realistic plan that the United States was willing to stand behind, which is something that I think doesn't sort of always get enough credit, is that when the president says he's going to do something, everybody in the region knows that he is going to do it. When he said he would move the embassy to Jerusalem, he went ahead and he did it. When he said he was going to recognize the Golan Heights as Israel's territory, he did that as well. When he said he was going to leave the Iran deal because it was a failed deal that would have allowed Iran to get a nuclear weapon, he left the Iran deal and imposed the snapback sanctions at the UN just last month. So the president has created just a tremendous amount of credibility to both in the Israeli public, but also in the Middle East more broadly. And so when the president put out his vision, everybody knew that he was going to stand behind it, and he will stand behind it. And that is what, you know, we hope the Palestinians will one day come to the table to negotiate over. But in the meantime, until they're ready to do so, Jared went to the region and started having conversations with other regional Arab leaders. And in his conversations, what he saw was a real openness, a desire, actually, to make peace with their neighbor Israel. And the reasons are sort of, you know, plenty. There's security reasons, there's economic reasons, and then there's also just an exhaustion from fighting. I mean, being at war is a terrible, costly, difficult thing to continue to do, especially in the Middle East, where most countries there, have not known a day. You know, Israel in its entire existence has not known a day of where someone is not in a state of belligerence with it. Even till right this moment, there are countries that are formally in a state of belligerence with Israel. And so, you know, I think what Jared saw was just this real desire to move forward. And I apologize if that's a long way of answering.
No, Avi, it's actually incredibly helpful. And the economic benefits, too. You know, the first commercial flight between the United Arab Emirates and Israel at the end of August, and now there's this, I was reading the other day, there's kind of this race now for the first commercial flights.
Yeah.
New. The economic benefits here are enormous.
Yeah. And so Jared actually led the delegation a few weeks ago from Tel Aviv to the United Arab Emirates, the first commercial flight, an El Al flight, which, you know, what's interesting is it has the flag of Israel on its wing. And so as part of that flight, we were able to receive permission from Saudi Arabia to fly over their airspace, the first time that that has ever happened. So in Israel's 72-year existence, that is the first time that has ever happened. Ultimately, Bahrain, which owns Qatari airspace, also allowed for the future for their airspace to be used. So what would be a seven-hour flight from Israel to the UAE, which, again, would be impossible if not for this deal, is now going to be a three-hour flight from Israel to the UAE. And that is just going to open up the people-to-people connections, which are a necessary component of a warm peace, which is something that the president has sort of strived for in these deals. He says, look, anyone could sign a deal, but if it's a bad deal, it's not going to stand the test of time. And so what he's asked Jared and the team to do is to really push for a piece of warmth, of people-to-people interactions, of financial connection, of all types of the beneficial relationships that allow this thing to have generational impact.
Avi Berkowitz is with me. He is the assistant to the president and special representative for international negotiations. A historic day yesterday at the White House. Several peace deals were signed. And Avi, of course, right in front and center throughout this entire process. Last question, if I could. I know you're very busy today, Avi, and I'm so gracious for your time. I really appreciate your generous time. There's also an energy benefit to the United States as well with this, too. Energy independence, energy security, all of that plays a very important role for Americans back home.
100%. Honestly, I think, I've gotten this question in the past, what's in it for America? And I think the energy independence is an extremely important component, bringing home our troops. But there's also something to American diplomacy, right? The position of America in the world is something that the president has worked tirelessly to enforce as a force for good, one of honesty, one of truth. And both of our partners in this deal could not have done this deal if not for President Trump being the one to broker it. And the trust that they have in the United States of America and the people of the United States of America and the goodness, honestly, of the United States of America was the most important element of this deal ultimately coming to fruition. And so I think every American really should feel a sense of pride, A, that their president was able to work on this, but B, that they live in a country and help contribute to a country that has made deals like this possible. So honestly, it's everybody's celebration yesterday, and hopefully we'll continue to celebrate together in the future.
You know, for me personally, one of the reasons why I supported the president so early on in 2015 was because I believed him when he said he wanted peace. He didn't want more wars. He didn't want endless wars. Yep. Wanted to bring the troops home, wanted to foster peace. He's done that. He's doing that. He's actively doing that, Avi. And I mean, to me, I just feel like, you know, a lot of politicians say that stuff. But the fact is, here we are 4 years later without any new wars, with these historic Middle East peace deals signed. And it's just something that he really deserves. I mean, this is history right here, and he really deserves incredible credit for this. I want him to get the credit. He deserves the credit for this. It would have been very easy for the president to succumb to the pressures of the military-industrial complex and to just do what Israel wanted and not what the other countries wanted in this deal. He did what was needed to be done to bring about this kind of peace in the world. And that's tremendous.
Thank you. Well, and thanks to you for acknowledging it and taking the time to really get into the details, because if not for that, we wouldn't have this opportunity. So thank you.
Well, listen, congratulations again. Avi Berkowitz, Assistant to the President, Special Representative for International Negotiations. Congratulations, my friend, and hope to have you back on the show soon.
Thank you so much. That would be amazing.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.